begin to read. If you've got your Bible, that is your lifeline. This is your contract, if you would look up here just for a moment, to what belongs to you from God, the creator of this world. See, Satan did not create this world. Satan was created by God, and he's the biggest loser in the universe. Let me tell you what makes him the biggest loser. You know, if you've heard my preaching before, he's the only one named in the Bible. We know for sure he's going into the lake of fire. So when Satan tries to bring up your past, tell him about his future. Just take him to the place where it says, and the dragon and the beast and Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, that's the end of your enemy. And he knows his time is short. So he's, at this time, he is shaking everything that can be shaken. John 15, Jesus said this, I am the vine, and born again people are my father's sons and daughters. You are the branches. Every branch that doesn't produce fruit will be pruned off. It says God is the vine dresser that will be cut off. If you've ever, we lived in an apricot orchard in Patterson, California. By the way, that's the apricot capital of the world. And there was a pruning time where Mr. Moranti would go through all that 17 acres of apricots, and it would take him a while. And he would prune off, and he said, Angelo, come here, look. He said, these are the ones that I'm cutting off. And he showed me which of those branches. These will not produce fruit, and we don't want them. Why do they? We don't want them to take strength from the tree. So, praise God. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit will be cut off. What do you have to do to produce fruit? You got to be a child of God. You can't be an impersonator. You have to be a real child of God. That's what God requires of us. Why? Because that's the only way that this Bible works. My disclaimer is if you don't know this word and walk by this word and find out the promises, see, that makes you a word person. When you first get saved, Peter said, as newborn babes, earnestly desire the first milk of the word of God. It's right in there. So that you may grow thereby. And the Bible talks about some of the word being strong meat. That's when you get deeper into the word and deeper into your walk where you know what's going on. But once again, for the next few minutes, my thought is Jesus is saying to every believer in here, everybody who is a doer of the word, everybody that is a true child of the Most High God, be not afraid. It's me. Just like when he came walking on the water in that storm and his disciples was out to sea, he said, don't be afraid. This is me. The idea to not be afraid comes up 365 times in the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament. At least 365 times. God's trying to get that point to us. Do not be afraid. Ma'am, there is a nursery if you want to go in here, and you can even hear the word in there too if you want to go right through that door. Now, if you want to do something else, you just go on. I see new people here tonight. Now, you're new, aren't you? What is your name? Patricia? It's good to have you with us, Patricia.
I'm deaf, so I can't hardly
hear. Okay, my mother was deaf. I could read lips before I could talk. That's the truth. Thank you for coming. God bless you. And what is your name?
Selma.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. Welcome. And your name?
Antonio.
Thank you for coming. And ma'am?
Sadia.
Sadia. God bless you. Thank you for coming. It is so good to have all of you with us here tonight. We're learning how to be a child of God. We're learning how to face these times. You know, we can't get to the rapture, and we can't get to heaven. We can't get to the lake of fire. We can't get to the judgment day. There's a few things that the Bible says we have to go through. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, the Bible says, Jesus said this, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Now, I'm just going to kick my shoes off. Y'all do the same thing. Remember that from the Beverly Hillbillies? Stay a while. Take your shoes off. Get comfortable. My thought, once again, don't be afraid. These things that come, they're not coming to make you afraid. They're coming to make you stronger than you've ever been before. Mom, would you do me a favor? I'm so parched tonight. Would you just, if there's a bottle of water, if you've got one there, whatever, if you can just get me something. I've got a Diet Coke in a glass, but I don't think the powers that be would like to drink that in, so just bring me something I can wet my whistle. I'm going to begin reading at Genesis chapter 26 and verse 24. And the Lord appeared to Isaac. Isaac was a peaceful person. He was the son of Abraham. And he was very prosperous. And the people where he was living were against him. He said, I know that you hate me and my family. And he dug a well, and they claimed that well to be theirs. That water was theirs. And he didn't fight with them. The word says this. He gave them that well, and he went over here, and he dug another well, and he prospered 100-fold during famine and drought and bad things. You cannot keep a child of God down. They will be blessed one way or another. And the Lord appeared to Isaac that same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and will multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. I want to say, when times look the worst, that's when your seed is going to be multiplied. And that seed includes your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And however it goes, God's going to bless them. God's going to look out for them because of you. Amen? In 1 Kings chapter 17 in verse 13, Elijah said unto the woman, now hear this. This didn't make sense. Elijah was hiding from Jezebel, and he was at the Kidron Brook, a brook, and the birds of the air came and fed him every day. But the brook dried up, so the Lord, thank you, sweetheart, thank you very much. I love you, honey. 48 years, October the 10th this year. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I believe in that you can get married and stay married if you marry the person God tells you to marry. I believe that with all my heart. And you definitely want him in your circle of counselors when you pick a mate. Elijah was then moved to a place. He said, I want you to go to a certain place, and there's a widow there, and I have commanded her to take care of you and supply you with the food that you need during this famine that was in the land. Elijah went to that certain place. He found that widow. She had just a little bit of food left, a little bit of flour. And she introduced herself, and she perceived that Elijah was a prophet, that he was a man of God. And Elijah said to this woman, now, you take this the way that you can take it, but I have fashioned my wife. We've raised our four daughters and our grandchildren and this church to put God first, to put God before yourself. What do I mean by that? That's how you begin to work faith. That's how faith begins to work in your life. Contrary to popular belief, attending church isn't necessarily the way to salvation. Getting born again is the way to salvation. And if you're truly born again, you will begin to digest the promises of God that are in this Bible for you. There's nothing in this Bible to hurt you. God loves you so much, though, if you're one of his children. Now, he won't do this to somebody that's not his children. He will correct you. I correct everybody that I love. Well, what about the people that aren't with you, Lord? We've got an appointment, for it is written, it is appointed unto every person once to die, and then comes the judgment. It's best to learn these things now. It's best to understand these things now. Many people started out this morning, they thought it was going to be a great day, and before they could get home this evening, they're in the morgue. Do you know the day of your death? I don't know mine. So I live kind of sensitive. Okay, God, every morning, Millie and I, after our devotion, we make a prayer, and in that prayer we say this: Lord, into your hands we commit our spirit. Those are the last words that Jesus said when he died. We trust you that much. If it's our day to die, so be it. We want your direction. If it's not our day to die, we want you to direct us and correct us. We believe and declare that you are the potter. You're the one in charge of our lives, and we are the clay. And you have a right, and we desire that you would make us and mold us to be whatever you want us to be. So Elijah met this widow. He introduced himself, and he said, "Fear not." There it is again. Don't be afraid. I have spent, since 1975, I got saved in 1971, from 1975, putting God ahead of myself. I was 4 years and without this principle in my life, putting God first. And we had a wonderful wedding, lots of cash in our account, and my wife contracted. See, we weren't tithing. We weren't putting God first. We were putting ourselves first. And let me tell you what happened. The devil came in. Millie contracted a disease called Valley Fever. The only other place that you can get this on the earth is in Israel. Isn't that right? And it took all of our finances. I was standing in a line to get welfare assistance. I should take one drink. Oh, Millie, the word says, blessed is everybody that gives a prophet a cool drink. And I was standing in line. I remember I had some papers. They were green. And I'd filled out these papers. I needed help. We had rent that was due. We had to buy groceries. And I was standing in that line with a multitude of other people in Patterson, California. And the Lord said, Angelo. I said, yes, Lord. He said, if you'll let me, I'll take care of you. And you won't have to have this in your life. I'll take care of you better than if you trusted your government to take care of you. I said, Lord, that's what I want. He said, all right. What I want you to do, he said, see that waste paper basket? He said, crumple those papers up. This was about 1975. And throw them in there and walk out of here. And I walked out. I had $5 left to our name. We'd spent everything for that sickness that came on Millie. And she had to have some special, was it cortisone?
Steroid shots.
And we didn't have any insurance, and we ran out of money pretty quick. But I walked out of there, And I took that $5 and I sent it to Billy Graham. It was all the money that I had. And for the first time in my life, I began to put God first. Now, I'm not trying to take up an offering. I'm just trying to tell you what works and what doesn't work. Does anybody want to hear that in here? Because we'll move to something else if you don't want to hear that. Okay. Before Billy Graham got that money, I had had applications in everywhere. I was outside feeding my dogs. I could buy boxes of meat, turned meat, for my dogs for like 50 cents for a huge box of bologna and steak and everything. And we were young kids. I was throwing them steaks out to that pack of hounds that I had, and I was laughing under my breath. I thought, dear God, we're trying to eat these old fish sticks, and these dogs are eating steaks. And I remember the Lord came in again, and I heard him speak my voice again. He said, Angelo, I said, yes, Lord. He said, I've got a challenge for you. He said, try to outgive me. And as soon as he said that, Millie stuck her head out that door and that little cottage on 17 acres. She said, Angelo, Patterson Frozen Foods just called and said they want you to come to work at 7 o'clock tonight. I said, tell them I'll be there. And from that point on, I began to grow. Oral Roberts had a book called Miracle Seed Faith Giving. I listened to the 700 Club at lunchtime, Ben Kinslow and Pat Robertson, and they taught on the principle of giving. And people are offended by the one thing that can help you. It's giving, releasing, worshiping God with your tithe. I say it every Sunday morning. If that's offensive to you, you have to get over that. Look here, this church doesn't want your money. This church wants God's money that you have if you're a child of God. My poor daughter said, oh, Dad, please don't say anything else. But you know, how many of you are offended by that word? How many of you would rather at least know what the score is? Amen? Yeah. So we did, and we have never had a problem. We had the best Christmases for all those girls. We raised two that weren't ours with our two. We had the best vacations. Me and Dwayne were talking today about we went to Branson. Kelly was about 5 years old when we first started going to Branson. And we had a good life. And we've had a good life ever since. But Elijah said to this widow, she only had a little bit left. And what he said was this. And Elijah said unto her, don't be afraid. Go and do as you said. She said, I'm just going to make, I got enough for one meal. That's all I've got left for me and my son. He said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Now, I'm 70 years old. I'm not going to apologize what the Word of God says. But I'll tell you, and if you can receive it, you're way ahead. And if you can't, work on it. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for yourself and for your son. And that account, it's not a story. These are not bedtime tales. These are actual accounts of what really happened. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 13, and for the rest of that famine, that cruse of oil that she had never went dry. That cruse of flour that she had never got empty. It just lasted for months and months and months. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 16, and he answered, this is Elisha talking to his servant. Their city they were in was surrounded by an enemy army, and everybody was afraid. And Elisha said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they which be with them. He said, Master, are you crazy? Don't you see this army? They came for you. And me, they're going to kill us, and not in a nice way. He said, no, there's more that's with us. And then he prayed and he said, Heavenly Father, open his eyes. Open my servant's eyes. And all of a sudden, that servant could see that the army that was around that city was surrounded by a heavenly army of angels. And it had a good end. They let them in, and they had a change of heart, the enemy. And Elisha ministered to them, and it came to a good end, and nobody in that city was hurt or killed. They came to destroy it. The word says in Isaiah 41 and 10, fear not, for I am with you. Now, that's the thought in my message tonight. Don't be afraid, because God is with you. How many of you in this room are blood-bought, born again by the child of God? Amen. To you, the Lord says, don't be afraid, because I am with you. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the strength of my right hand of righteousness. It doesn't matter what happens here. There are people that are called to be martyred, to give their lives for the gospel. Even if I am that, I'm not going to be afraid. We're going to be the place that people seek out. We see it already every Wednesday. People come here and they get out in the parking lot because they want that food. You know, from the beginning of time in the book of Genesis and all the way through in the ministry of Jesus, mankind, God dealt with mankind by food, by taking care of people. Manna fell from heaven. Food fell from heaven for 40 years in the desert when Moses was leading the people to the promised land. God took care of them. Wherever Jesus went, he fed people, sometimes as much as 5,000 men plus children and women, we don't know how many, fed them all and had leftovers. One time he had leftovers and he said, gather up all of the leftovers. Let nothing be wasted. And the disciples gathered 12 big containers of leftovers that they used. What did they use it for when they went to the next town? They shared it and fed it. That's just what Christianity does. Christianity always gives more than it takes. In Isaiah 43 and 1, but now thus says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. And if you're a believer tonight, I'm not talking about if you're a believer, if you're a child of God, the Lord says, I have already redeemed you. And how did he redeem us? Wasn't it by that old rugged cross on a hill far away? Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And it was on that old cross that the dearest and best for a world full of sin, he paid the price. He redeemed us. You're already redeemed. If you're a believer, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 43 and 2, when you pass through the water, it won't drown you. I'm going to be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. How much of this promise can you take for your family and your life? I think that's the question right now. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Arkansas had $1 million for grant money. Now, we don't have that money in our account, but we got the biggest piece of that. And it started in my daughter's heart. Dad, I think God wants us to build a new, bigger food place. We're going to call it the Manna Center. You'll see it. You're going to see it right before your eyes. We've bought the property that we need. You're going to see it when you come in here. You'll see that going up probably starting this fall. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie. And because my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I have more verses than I have time. I'm going to invite everybody in this room to take communion with us right now. Tommy, Charles, come up here. And in just a moment, first I want everybody that's going to take communion, make an altar where you are. If you can't get down, we'll just bow your head. Come to this altar. The word says before you take communion, it's a time of blessing. It says before you take communion, examine yourself. And if there's something there that shouldn't be there, confess it to the Lord. Because 1 John 1:9 says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of your sins. Let's get ready to take communion.